Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insights segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Spring has officially sprung. It's the time of year green thumbs and garden gurus get out there hoping to make their lawns worthy of oohs and ahs from passersby. You might be a novice for your great grass and vegetables, and even if you think you know it all, there's plenty to learn tonight. My guest is Derek Thomas of Thomas Landscapes and Thomas Design Consultants. And as always, when Derek's on with us, we try to take as many of your phone calls and questions as possible because Derek knows it all. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tweet me at HFisherWHUR or follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Derek, how are you?
Good, good. How are you?
I am doing fine. Always looking forward to having you on the program. Lots of questions that we get from listeners. And as I said, we're going to take as many as we possibly can. But always, as always, I have some questions for you as well. I want to, of course, I'll get to the disaster that is my lawn. And patio.
Yeah, that seems to be our perennial discussion.
That's right. look, no pun intended. But
right.
Okay, so warmest day of the year today, 84 degrees. Going to have a nice day again tomorrow. We are still in transition, but no more snow. So what should people be doing? Let's start with the lawns first. What should they start doing right now?
Well, you know, what's happened is that everything has gone from being completely dormant, both lawns and gardens. And as you said, we just had an 84 degree day. So everything's waking up. And in order to wake up from an extended rest, you've got to be able to have nutrients to produce the growth that the lawns are going to want to do. So this is a great time. If you haven't already consulted with a lawn professional, get someone out there, take a look at, and this, I always suggest that people do this with a professional, is the aerating and the dethatching. And dethatching is basically taking away some of the dead stolons that the lawn produces as it grows. And aerating is introducing air basically into the soil, and it helps with some of the compact issue that we can have, because the soil can become compacted. So those are two things that you probably want to consult a professional. Now, as far as the do-it-yourself, if you've done that and you don't have to do that every year, it can be every 2 or 3 years, you want to get yourself on a program of fertilization. And the big box, you know, the big companies have a lot of supplies, and the big box suppliers, and a lot of them are now very, very user friendly because they're labeled spring, summer, winter, fall. And so you can do the treatment that they recommend, follow the instructions on the bags of whatever type of fertilizer that you're going to be using. If you want to do an organic approach, there's a lot of organic products out there that would not get rid of a lot of the weeds that you're going to see. And a lot of people are starting to embrace a lawn that is a mixture of grass and clover and different things like that. But yeah, definitely the fertilization this time of the year. If your soil is starting, if you've got runoff issues and stuff like that, you also want to build up the soil by using some sort of a commercially prepared lawn soil. And that is a thing, Harold. They now have lawn soil. And it's specially formulated for putting down on your lawn.
Wait a minute. What is lawn soil? What is that?
Yeah, they've taken a lot of the components, a lot of the micronutrients that lawns need. Grass is a very, very shallow-rooted plant. So they've taken a lot of the micronutrients that would normally leach up from underneath the roots into the roots. They've put together a soil that actually is beneficial for lawns. You're going to have a higher nitrogen content than what you probably want in your vegetable gardens or your beds, because that's going to produce the growth that you want to see in the lawn. So it's a premixed do-it-yourself first dream, because you can basically do this as a top dressing to your lawn and give yourself a jump start on the season.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Spring has sprung. We're talking about making sure your lawn and garden are in the best shape possible as the weather turns warmer. Of course, we are talking to Derek Thomas of Thomas Landscapes and Thomas Design Consultants. Okay, let me talk about something really simple. And I'll use, you know, my postage stamp size of a lawn. It's mostly brown, but now I have these green shoots, you know, popping up. You know, it's like, you know, a balding man with, you know, you know,
now
with
the, are the shoots grass?
I don't know.
Are the shoots weed?
What do I know? They're green.
Okay.
It looks like grass, but they're, you know, they're probably, I don't know, about 4 inches across, and they're, I don't know what they are.
So, well, some areas are growing quicker than other areas.
Yeah.
What can happen is, as we overseed our lawns, you may end up buying 1 year a tall fescue mix. The next year, you may end up buying a bluegrass mix. And those grasses come to life in the spring at different rates. Mm. So what you may be seeing in your lawn, you may even have zoysia that's mixed in. And the zoysia is a heat-tolerant grass that will not wake up until we get into April. So you may have a combo pack, if you will, on your lawn, and they're going to wake up at different times. Eventually, as you get into later April, they will catch up, and you will start, being able to have a lawn that's more evenly growing.
So what is the best grass for the DMV? If we all between, you know, pretty much Baltimore and Richmond, we pretty much have the same kind of weather. Obviously, as you get a little further south, it's a little warmer, but pretty much the same kind of weather. So if you want a nice green grass that has lots of curb appeal, no, I don't want clover growing. I just want grass.
Well,
what do you suggest?
On that note, they actually do sell clover now. People are putting in clover lawns, but that's a whole other segment.
Wow.
So the best lawn for the Mid-Atlantic states would be a tall fescue blend. And a lot of times when you buy one of those blends, it's a blend of grasses that, first of all, a lot of them have a certain percentage of annual grass. And what that does is it gives us that instant gratification, because that's a grass that will not make it through to the next year. And usually it's under 20%. And then the other 80% is a blend. So it's a tall fescue blend. And that's going to be the best thing for the Mid-Atlantic states. When you get down to Richmond, you're in a different zone, and your grass that you can use down there, you're not going to have the high humidity that we have from Baltimore down to Richmond. So you could start segueing into a little bit more cooler temperature lawn. But for this area, we definitely want to use a tall fescue blend. And once again, the manufacturers have figured us out as consumers. And so there's a lot of different manufacturers that have different grass seed blends, pre-prepared, pre-mixed. All you got to do is read the instructions, put it down per the instructions. And they also have this item, if you're going to be redoing a bare patch or if you're going to be redoing an entire lawn area, they have this other product called a lawn mulch. And what it is, it's ground up paper, and it has some nutrients in it, but it also has a sticky element in it. So if birds land on your lawn and try to eat your lawn, the seeds before they germinate, it startles the birds. And so the birds fly off. So that's the purpose for the lawn mulch. And it's a lot better than putting down the straw. And if you're going to put down straw and do it old school, make sure that you're putting down straw and not hay. Because if you put down hay will have seeds that will grow.
Wow.
So, and if you've ever had, so you may have done that. You may have.
No, not me.
The fast growing stuff, or your lawn person may have done that. The fast growing stuff in your lawn might be because they put down some hay on your lawn.
Wow, gosh! So just make sure that if you're making bricks, that you're making bricks with straw and not hay. Okay.
Yes. Now we're getting old school.
Yeah. Yes, we are. Let me go to the phone lines 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Eric calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Eric. What's on your mind?
Yes, I just wanted to ask a question about tree roots that are not allowing my grass to grow any longer. Are there any tips for that other than, top dressing it?
Okay, so a first question, what's the canopy of the tree doing? Because the canopy of the tree, and that's the aerial part of the tree, it will affect a lawn actually just as much as tree roots will. Because if you have a rain, and it's not a rain like what we had on Wednesday, which was an all-day soaking event, which normally we don't get those in the summer, that's when your lawns can suffer the most. So if you want to look at what the tree canopy is doing, and you want to make sure the tree canopy is not too dense. As far as the tree roots, one of the worst trees to have a lawn under are maples. Maples tend to have roots that go very, very far, looking out, looking for water. Other trees tend to have more localized roots when it comes to feeder roots. They'll have roots that will be stabilizing roots, but top dressing can hurt the tree.
What is top dressing?
Top dressing is when you put a couple of inches of soil onto the area, reseed it, or put down sod over top of it. And you have to keep in mind that there's a delicate balance between, as that tree gets bigger, getting a lawn to grow underneath it is going to be more and more difficult. And if you start putting soil, even 2 inches of soil over the top of a tree's roots, imagine if someone put a 2-inch thick blanket over your nose and mouth. The tree roots breathe. They do take in oxygen through the soil. And so if we change that density and you change that soil mass, you can affect the tree. You might end up with great grass, but you may end up with a dead tree. So there's a balance there. And as the tree gets bigger, the tree is always going to win. Also, if you've got any runoff issues from where the tree is planted and it's on a slope, once again, you're dealing with moisture issues. What you can do particularly in the summertime is to make sure that you water the space sufficiently and that the canopy of the tree is not too dense. And there are mixtures on the market that is specifically for dense shade. So you have to look at exposure, you have to look at the tree canopy, and you have to look at the roots. So it's a whole package that you have to look at to figure out how you can get grass to grow. And once that canopy gets too dense, grass will not grow there.
Okay, Eric, thank you so much.
So should I thin it out? Is that what I need to do with the tree? I think it is too dense because I don't get a lot of rain through the tree onto the lawn.
Get a professional arborist to thin it out. Yes, sir.
Okay. Eric, okay. Thank you so much for your phone call. Alex calling from Arlington. What's on your mind?
Hi. So I am a first-time person, like, or gardenista or whatever they want to call it. And I live in an area where they said, we have all these seeds and stuff. And so they've given me all these packets of seeds and everything. And I was so excited. Then I got home and my neighbors were like, well, we kind of have a clay ground. So we have to put our our gardens above ground. And then I was just like, okay, I have a lot of vegetables and it's ranging from lettuce to peas. And then I have a cantaloupe. And I was like, I guess I can go to Home Depot and look for some kind of like above ground thing, but I'm just not sure how to do it, where to go, how to start.
You can, there's a website that's really user friendly for novice gardeners. It's called gardeners.com.
Okay.
It's that easy. And I'm not paid by them, Harold. So.
Okay.
but it's really, I guide people there all the time because gardeners.com, and when you go on that site, put in the search word raised gardens, and they have
raised. Okay.
They have a lot of different raised garden beds that you can do. Now, you said you had cantaloupes and a bunch of other things. Are those plants or are those the seeds?
They're all seeds. They gave me like a whole bunch of packets of seeds.
So some seeds you've already missed the timing on. Some seeds should have been planted in February. So cantaloupe is one that you can plant out directly once the soil gets warm enough. Some of the other tomatoes, you've missed that window.
Okay.
You should have planted those seeds. Green peppers, squash, you can plant directly out. If you don't want to go to the expense of doing a raised bed, and Harold and I talk about this a lot, you can do container gardens. You can get the old-fashioned whiskey barrels that they sell. I think they're around $50 at the big box hardware stores. They usually come pre-drilled at the bottom. If they don't, you can get someone to drill it out for you. That whiskey barrel it's a cured wood. It doesn't have any chemicals on it because it's actually a half whiskey barrel, and it's a big container. And the reason you want a big container is as your vegetable garden grows in, the roots are going to demand more and more water. So you want to make sure that you are able to water on a daily basis or set up some kind of a simple soaker system, because your vegetables are going to require a lot of water if you want to have a successful bounty. Now, really quickly,
hold on for a second, Derek, because I've got to take a quick break and I'll let you finish up with Alex. We want to let Elaine from Washington know that we're going to talk to her. Also, Joe calling from Bowie. I know that it's hard to get through. This is one of our most popular shows. I urge you to keep trying. We're taking calls up until 8 o'clock, so stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. Don't forget, you can hear this podcast on WHUR tonight after 9 o'clock. And don't forget to download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. I'm Harold Fisher. This discussion continues on SiriusXM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2 in a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about lawn and garden tips. The weather is warming up. Spring is here. And Derek Thomas of Thomas Landscapes and Thomas Design Consultants is on the line. Lines are open. Please keep trying. I promise we're going to get through as many phone calls as we possibly can at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Derek, please finish your point with Alex.
Alex, thank you, Harold. The one thing I was going to say is be mindful about people saying that clay soil is not good. Clay soil is actually one of the best soils that you can have because if you properly amend it, it has more micronutrients per square inch than any soil that you can buy. What you want to make sure is that the soil is not too dense, that you add sand and a good topsoil to mix it together. You don't ever want to go deeper than 6 inches because the roots are going to look, topsoil is always the top 6 inches. The roots are going to go down. They're going to get into that clay. It's going to give them more moisture. And in the long haul, your plants are going to do better. So consult a garden professional in your area and see what they can do to work with you. But don't think that clay is all that bad.
Okay. Alex, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Send me a cantaloupe when you're done. All right. All right. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Joe calling from Bowie. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's on your mind?
Yes, I was wondering about where I would get a soil test.
A soil test.
If you're in Bowie, you can contact the Extension Service, University of Maryland Extension Service. Just go online, University of Maryland Extension Service. They do free soil testing.
What is the purpose of a soil test?
It can tell you, so for instance, if you're growing vegetables, you need to have a pH of somewhere around 6.5 to 7.5. If you're growing acidic plants like rhododendrons, azaleas, things like that, you want a pH lower than 6.5. So the soil test will tell you what the pH is, but it will also tell you if you have any harmful chemicals in the soil, like heavy metals, and it will also tell you if you have any other elements in the soil that may not make gardening, particularly vegetable gardening, a wise decision. We had that big scare in Spring Valley probably about 15 years ago when they found out that munitions had been buried.
Yes.
And people had been gardening there for years, and those munitions had actually seeped harmful chemicals into the soil. So a soil test is absolutely a good idea. University of Maryland Extension Service will provide you a kit, and you send it back into them, and they'll send your report.
Okay. Joe, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Elaine, calling from Washington, D.C. Elaine, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind? Elaine?
Hello. How's everybody?
I'm just fine. Go right ahead, please.
Okay. My question was back at the hydrogen that the brother talked about earlier for the vegetables, and also about the lawn mulch. But I wanted to know about the hydrogen. Is he saying that it's in something that's already mixed up, and you can put it down for your vegetables?
Elaine, I'm okay. So you had a couple of questions there, and I don't think I said hydrogen, but so there's a couple of questions there. First of all, if you use any pre-mixed soil amendments in your vegetable, are you vegetable gardening or are you lawn, or is it both?
I do both, but I do my vegetables first.
Okay. Use a prepared soil-less mixture. That's anything that says potting mix, not potting soil. Miracle-Gro, once again, not paid mm-hmm. by them. They have one that's really, really good for the consumer, and it's a vegetable soil. It's got everything that you need in it. It's got all the micronutrients in it. It's got your basic elements. If you're going to do lawn, that's the lawn soil that I said, and there's a bunch of companies that produce that. And then the lawn mulch is actually a product that you put down on top after everything is done. You've seeded, you've soiled, you're ready to go, and then you put that down to prevent the birds from eating it.
Okay.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about your lawn and garden, making sure that it looks good and the vegetables taste good as the weather begins to change for us. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sharon, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Sharon. What's on your mind?
Yes, I have a very small yard, and I had a beautiful ground cover that had been growing for the last couple of years. But today, clover has taken over everything. How do I get rid of the clover without destroying the ground cover?
Well, wait a minute, Derek. You said people are buying clover. Maybe she can sell hers.
Please, take my clover.
Was it Elaine?
No, it's Sharon. It's Sharon.
I'm sorry. Elaine was the previous caller.
Yes.
Sharon, Harold's putting you to work. here's the tricky thing about clover. The clover's probably been there for a while, if you're seeing it that full on. Clover grows from runners, so they run under the ground. What you have to do is you have to start at one plant, and you literally have to take a little pair. You can take a fork that you're not using in the inside anymore, and you can loosen up the dirt, and you can pull that runner all the way back to where it started. It's a very tedious task. And I don't know what kind of ground cover that you have. Sometimes what would be better would be to pay a professional to come in, take all the ground cover up. If it's vinca, which is the one with the little blue flowers that are happening right now, wait until it gets done blooming. If it's something like creeping Charlie or, one of the Paxandras or something like that, any of those could be dug up, but it's going to be a very tedious task to eradicate the clover. There's not really clover is a very successful plant, and there's not really much that you can do topically that would get rid of it 100%.
So I can't just put a torch to it.
You could put a torch to it, but you're going to kill the ground cover too. So at that point, I would say, yes.
I like Sharon.
Get some pickling vinegar and spray everything down. You know, a lot of people are not using the heavy chemicals anymore. You can find the pickling vinegar at the big box hardware stores. Get that, spray everything with it. It's a non-selective herbicide, and then start anew.
Will it kill the ground cover? Will the vinegar
kill
the ground cover?
It's a non-selective herbicide, so it'll kill anything that's green. So would your torch. By the way,
I'm really liking Sharon right now. I mean, she's kind of no nonsense. She said, "I'm not doing the fork thing. I'm going to get a blowtorch." I love it. Good luck to you, Sharon.
Thank you so much.
All right, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about lawn and garden. Spring is here. What do you need to do to make sure that your lawn looks good and that whatever you're planting for your table tastes good and grows in a healthy fashion? So I'm really stuck on this pickling vinegar. Every time I talk to you, there's so much that I realize I just don't know. If you put pickling vinegar on your lawn, so you're saying it's going to kill everything, including the grass?
Yes. It's a 30% acidity, at least a 30% acidity. Your regular table vinegar, so just your white vinegar, is 5% acidity. With a 30% acidity, what's going to end up happening is that you will end up killing everything that's vegetative. So it's non-selective. It just you spray it on there and it basically it tears everything down. So it's become very popular because there have been some controversies with herbicides that are just, you know, broad spectrum non-selective herbicides. And so it started manufacturers for the longest time stopped producing it, but now they're producing it again because I think consumers are asking for something that is safe.
So if you do that, I mean, is your lawn essentially a wash until next season?
No, that's the other thing about that. There's going to be a window where it's going to, if you take vinegar and you put it in an open container, it evaporates rather quickly.
Right.
What has to happen, there has to be contact with the growing parts of it. The plant doesn't know. So the plant thinks that the moisture that has hit its leaves
is water
that it should be taking in.
Right.
Exactly. So it pulls that into its pores and down into its roots. And that's what ends up killing it. Once it dries, a couple of days, if you want to be really safe, wait a week or two, and then you can replant because the vinegar has dissipated.
Wow.
That's why those broad spectrum herbicides, they say dry, safe and dry in an hour.
Right.
It's once it's dry, even the chemical based ones, which are usually a salt, the effectiveness of it at that point, you can have runoff. So you could have where it hasn't dried all the way and we get a rain and there's a runoff. And then your neighbor might be
very upset
because her daffodils might be turning brown. But once it completely dries, it's generally rendered ineffective.
One more question about I just find this completely fascinating. A couple of questions. First of all, does it smell like pickles?
It smells like vinegar.
It smells like vinegar.
When the next time you open a jar of your pickles, smell it.
And that's what we're talking about.
There's usually coriander seeds in it. There's usually some garlic or whatever the spice is, whatever type of pickle it is that you're having. It's a sour. If it's a butter pickle, you've got a couple other spices going on. But the base is vinegar.
Wow. So could I put that, like my patio has these flat bricks, they're gray.
Mm-hmm.
They are probably, each brick is about 12 by 6 inches and about 2 inches deep. But every year I get weeds that grow.
Spread between the bricks, and it would absolutely take care of the vegetative growth.
I think I'm going to get some pickling vinegar. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kim, calling from Alexandria. Hey, Kim, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I'm getting ready to plant my garden, but I have an issue because we have a lot of, like, squirrels, and we have rabbits, and so they tend to get into the lawn. I don't know if there's something I can get or some way to get. I don't want to kill them or put out traps or anything. I just want them to not eat my plants.
Yes, the flora and the fauna.
Yeah.
Squirrels are destructive more to young plants and to fruit. If it's stuff like the cantaloupe, tomatoes, things like that, you could do what some people have done is use the old nylon stockings to put around a cantaloupe or to put around a group of tomatoes. You can also put human hair. If you put it around the perimeter of the garden, these animals have very, you know, specialized nasal systems, and that's how a squirrel can bury something and find it. And the human hair has our scent, so that tends to be a deterrent for a while.
Human, wait a minute. Human hair?
Yeah. So if you go to the barbershop, get some of the hair and spread it around at the border of your garden, because remember, keep in mind, the hair is not really going to break down. Hair doesn't really break down. That's why, anyway, that's another whole biology
right
discussion.
What about Kim, do you wear a weave? Does that apply?
that will not apply.
That won't work. Okay, that so much for the apply. Weave.
That's,
no
that's
weave for
synthetic.
Kim.
But what you want to do is either do that, or there are some natural products on the market. Some contain cayenne oil. Some contain garlic. Some contain other natural ingredients that you can spray around the plants. Keep in mind, every time it rains, you may need to reapply that. The squirrels, one of the things that you can do to keep them from digging and pulling up your young, tender plants is you can buy cayenne pepper. Get a large one at the big membership department store, like a big tub, a big, you know, 1 pound container. Sprinkle it around the plants, and when the squirrel goes to dig, the squirrel will smell. The capsicum oil will go into its nasal cavity, and it'll scare it. It'll get a little bit of a burn, like when you eat something spicy. It doesn't hurt the squirrel. It just teaches the squirrel that there's something bad in your garden, and the squirrel will go to the neighbor's garden. Or you can do a netting, like if you wanted to do some sort of a netting protectant around the plants. The bunnies are another whole story, because bunnies will bury. They will burrow. Once again, there's some sprays. There's one that actually is made specifically for rabbits. You got to do a bunch of different methods, because the rabbits are on the rise, the squirrels are on the rise. Mm-hmm. A lot of their natural predators we have gotten rid of. Like a fox would have been the natural predator to both a squirrel and a rabbit, and would have controlled their population a bit. So I do netting around my garden, because we've also got a couple of cats that like to go in there and do their thing, and then that's not safe food to eat. So I do just the bird netting on stakes all the way around the garden, and even the squirrels are skittish about going in there, and the rabbits, they tend to not, they'll look somewhere else. So, and you know, but it's a continuing battle. Mm. It's a continual battle that we live in the city, but we've got a lot of animals that we have to be sharing our veggies with.
Mm. Okay. Do they have anything like, say, fox urine you could buy? Maybe it just
kind of spray. They do. Yeah. That's actually. That's one of the products that they sell.
What is it? What is it that you mentioned?
It's fox urine.
Fox urine?
I was kidding.
Yeah.
But
no. They do. There's a company called I Must Garden. Just Google imustgarden.com. And that company has lots of natural. They've got mosquito repellent. They've got animal repellent. They've got all this other stuff that's completely human safe. imustgarden.com.
Just whatever you do, don't open it in the house.
No.
You do not. You open that stuff outside. Especially if you're clumsy. Oh my gosh, I can't imagine.
Yeah, no, it's the critters are they are a challenge. And I mean, you know, 10 years ago it was the feral cats. Now it's the feral cats plus all of their friends. Mm.
It makes sense though. I live near a park, and during the warmer months, I see fox in my neighborhood. And now, but I don't see a lot of squirrels, and I don't see a lot of rabbits. And what you said about them being natural predators, now it makes sense.
Because yeah, Mama Fox, I tell you, if she's got 4 or 5 pups, Mama Fox will do some damage to the squirrel and rabbit population in your neighborhood.
Wow.
And unfortunately, you know, I'm in Northeast DC by the cathedral, and we used to have a pair of foxes, and one day, you know, a car had sadly hit one of them, and then the other one, I don't see him or her anymore. So we've had a bit of an explosion of the squirrels. We fortunately don't have the rabbits yet, but the rabbits are becoming a bit of a issue throughout DC and in many parts in Maryland. Okay. Because their natural predators have been pushed out.
Yeah. Okay. Kim, good luck to you. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. So I want to talk a little bit about small spaces. And as you and I have discussed before, I like to grow my own herbs, cilantro, you know, oregano, basil, you know, mm-hmm. all of those things. But you mentioned something that struck me. You said, you talked about potting mix versus potting soil. What is the difference and what is the best for planting your own herbs?
You can use a potting soil if you're not using a container. And here's the reason why. A container is going to, it's a microclimate. And the minute you start putting water in there, soil is going to become dense.
Yes.
And if the soil becomes too dense, natural soil becomes too dense, the roots and ultimately the water can't penetrate it. So you could be watering the top of the soil, and because the center of this pot has gotten dense, the water is running around the outside, the inside of the pot, but the outside of the soil mass down the drainage, and you think you're watering it, and the entire center of the mass of soil, because it's become compacted, is not getting any water.
And that's why the herbs begin to die.
They begin to die, and that usually, the direct correlation with that, Harold, is once it heats up, things get more and more compact. So it gets hotter, and you're like, oh, maybe it died because it's hot. No, it's actually because you probably put a potting soil instead of a potting mix. A potting mix is going to have most of its components be something like peat moss, maybe some perlite. It's going to be ingredients that are not going to compact the same way that the soil will. And that's the best thing to add into a container garden or a raised garden bed. In a raised garden bed, if you've got an opened bottom, so it's just the whole box is sitting on the earth,
you can go ahead and mix about 50% potting soil and 50% potting mix, because you want to lighten that up a little bit. But you will have the proper drainage, because you've got also, not only do you have the leaching down, but you have the leaching up, which keeps the soil nice and fluid, for lack of a better way of describing it. In a pot, you don't have that, and that's why the soil will compact, and you will not have successful herbs beyond your cilantro harvest.
Yeah, right, exactly. One of the things that I noticed, spring onions, why do they take so long to grow?
Onions, okay, so onions have... The onions that they sell right now as quote-unquote spring onions can take 15 to 30 days to get to a halfway decent size. What happens is a lot of times the manufacturers are selling you onions as the sets. Are you doing seed or are you
seeds.
Doing
seeds? These are plants? Seeds. These are seeds.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
I'm a
onion
big seed
seeds,
guy.
Here's what you have to do. You have to plant them in August for the next April or May harvest of the spring onions. Mm. They will live all winter. They'll grow in. They'll be little tiny. They'll look like, by the end of the summer, they'll look like little dill plants, you know, like a little dill, like a little immature onion, because that's exactly what it is. It'll winter over. When it's wintering over, it's going to get its roots together. So its roots are going to get strong all winter. Even though we don't see the growth on the top part of the onion, it's doing a lot of growth down on its roots. And then once we have a day like today, it's got all this root mass. So it's going to go gangbusters. And within the next couple of weeks, you're going to have big, nice, juicy spring onions.
Okay.
If you plant them now, you wouldn't have spring onions until late fall, and because of the spike in the heat, onions are also, depending on the type of onion, onions are not only day length determinant, but they're also heat determinant. And that will predict when the onion is going to go to flower, when it's going to go from producing the bulb that we want to eat, and then using the energy in that bulb to actually produce a flower. So the best time to plant your onion seeds, and the seed manufacturers, they just want to sell seeds.
Right.
So they'll sell them to you now. Hold on to it until August. Plant them out in August. Let them stay in your garden all winter. And by late April of next year, you'll have really nice spring onions.
We haven't talked about flowers, and we only have a few minutes. And I always ask you this, annuals versus perennials, what are they? How does that work?
Perennials come back every year.
Okay.
And perennials usually have a bloom cycle. Like lilies will bloom for 2 or 3 weeks. Coneflower or black-eyed Susans will bloom for 3 to 4 weeks. English daisies will bloom for 3 to 4 weeks. So they have a bloom cycle. And the timing is different. So if you plant everything from lily of the valley to anemones, you could have perennial flowers all summer long, depending on what you plant. Now, there are going to be parts of your garden that are not going to have any color at all. Annuals are where you fill in the gaps, because annuals are a plant that goes from seed to plant to flower in 1 year. And that's why they bloom in just nonstop. So your vinca flowers, your begonias, your impatiens, all of those plants have to do their thing in a very short time, and our benefit is that we get to see bloom after bloom after bloom after bloom. So mixing in a bit of annuals every year, it's a little bit of an expense, but it's a worthy indulgence, because it's going to, you know, your perennials are sort of like your rootstock, and then your annuals are just a little bit of the frivolous color.
Real quick, mulch for your shrubs, your hedges. I know I have, what are those things called? The things that they get real red and pink and what have you. we're going to see them very, very shortly, and then they just kind of disappear. But what kind of mulch, and why is mulching just seems so expensive?
Mulch is expensive if you're getting a shredded hardwood mulch, just because of the whole process that they have to do. They have to strip the bark off of a tree. They have to process it. If you're putting down mulch, the most beneficial reason for putting down mulch is it stops erosion, it helps retain moisture, and it cuts down on the amount of weeds that you're going to have. So those are three really important things. And also, if you put down a fertilizer or a compost or something below the mulch, it's going to insulate that, it's going to keep that in the soil, and it's going to prevent that from running off if we have a heavy rain.
What kind of mulch, real quick? Red,
shredded,
brown?
Shredded hardwood mulch is really, really good. The reds, the blacks have become really popular. Just keep in mind, they have been dyed.
Oh.
So it's a dye, and then you're going to have to do it more frequently if you're using one of the colored mulches.
Mm. Amazing. I could sit and listen to you all day, Derek. I tell you, just amazing stuff. Well, I'm still working on my grass. You know,
I'm still waiting on those pictures. you have my email.
Yeah, I'll send you, and then I'll just imagine, you know, the guffaws, the chuckles, the rib breaking chortles that I'm going to get
from you. No. I'll be kind. Okay. What we have to do is you have to send that to me, and then we have to do a follow up segment as we get further into spring before we get to summer.
Yeah.
We should think about doing something for our listeners in the May time frame, because that's when we'll have a lot of interesting questions pop up too, because we'll be dealing with the people that have tried and failed.
More interesting than pickling vinegar and fox urine? I can't imagine.
I edited out some stuff when we started talking about human hair and stuff.
Yes.
Trust me, there's some interesting segue conversations that can happen after talking about a garden.
Derek Thomas, thank you so much. I will be in touch.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, March 26th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night, and have a wonderful weekend, everyone.